Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday edition of the Triple Option. You can always hit us up via Twitter. BK is at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. And I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. A Country Music Friday. I'm glad BK is not quizzing us on who the country music
artist is. Hold on.
I wasn't going to, but now
you can't because now we're in separate studios. It makes it even tougher. Yeah.
Oh.
I can't even read your facial expressions like I used to to find out if I'm even close, hot or cold, in terms of my my thoughts on who the artist may be.
KD, you want to take a flyer on this one?
God.
No, don't do it. It's okay.
No. This is a legendary song.
I know this song. It is a legendary song.
And a legendary artist, too.
Artist. Okay, so one. Give me a little more here. Come on.
Don't do it, KD.
No, I'm diving in.
Don't get sucked in.
I'm diving in. This undertow isn't that bad. Uh-oh.
He's going to tell you.
I'm getting pulled out to sea. Alan Jackson.
No. See, he said, well, he's looking at you. Oh, did you get it right?
Dead on.
Oh, well done.
It took me a second to find the applause because I'm so used to hitting every time you guys guess during Country Music Friday. It's rare that you get one right. So well done, KD.
I gave the Captain Brody. That was authentic. That felt like when he shot Jaws.
Mm.
Or sounded like it.
Mm.
More felt
that
like
was really
too.
Good, man. Yeah. I can't believe you got that.
I can't either. Hey, don't expect it for the next 20.
You knew though. You actually had to recall it. Like you felt it in your bones.
I think so, but it really was a guess. I do know Alan Jackson. I like Alan Jackson.
He a good dude.
Really good dude.
Nice.
Here in the real world.
You had to get it if you know him.
So, no, I don't know him. BK is being BK. Okay. I mean, I know of him, and I just knew that voice. So, it was a guess. I got one.
There you go. Good so, song. The bit's back. We're bringing the bit back since KD got it right.
I'm sorry, Rod.
No, don't bring it back. Sorry I even brought it up. I just, that's my fault. I shouldn't have done that. All right, let's get to these Mel Kiper evaluations. He actually gave... my man Kirk Bowles had this in his 9 things and 1 crazy prediction piece that he always does. And Kirk Bowles does a great job with the Austin American Statesman. And I'm assuming that he got a chance to get some thoughts from Mel Kiper on the draft class coming out for the Longhorns this year. The Mel Kiper, I just got to read some of the excerpts. We'll start with Sam Ellinger because most of it is about Sam Ellinger, but he does get into Cosme and Caden Stearns and some of the other guys. So we'll make our way through the Sam Ellinger diagnosis here first, and then we'll get to some of the other guys. It says Sam Ellinger to go undrafted? Question mark. Maybe. NFL draft guru Mel Kiper told me this week he thinks it could happen because he sees the record-setting Texas quarterback as a, quote, career backup like Notre Dame's Ian Book. He said Ellinger lacks the requisite arm strength to excel in the league and that he could have a career that mirrors that of Colt McCoy. That'd be a damn good career, actually.
Is Mel stealing my material here? Haven't I? Okay.
No, he says the comparisons with Colt, I think, are valid. So I guess he has heard some of those comparisons. He said he's been a career backup. He's had opportunities to start. So that's where Sam Ellinger falls in. At best in the third or fourth round. So he said at best third or fourth round, but at worst he's saying he could end up going undrafted. It's a possibility.
Well,
that's the range. That's the range you're dealing with.
That's verbatim for kind of what I've been saying for a little while now. And also that even Sam 2 or 3 years ago, I said I think he's a full-time backup in the league. That can be a great thing. And then highest maybe – would be that fourth round and definitely reaching in the third. But glad to know that I'm thinking along the same lines as Mel Kiper.
I've been shocked before, but I would be shocked if Sam Ellinger goes in the first 2 days of the NFL draft, which means the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft. I think he will get selected at some point, but I think it's going to happen on day 3. Now, if I may, guys, can
what's
I give
day 3
you
again? What rounds?
4 through 7.
4 through 7.
Mm-hmm. Can I give you guys a little Mel Kiper impersonation?
Oh, yeah, I love your vocal.
It could be terrible. I don't know how
good
this is.
You've done it before.
I've done it before, and I think the first time it was good, but it was beginner's luck. So
okay.
Here's Mel Kiper on Sam Ellinger. Always a good kid. He works hard. Doesn't quite have that NFL caliber arm that you're looking for, but I think he's got a chance to be like a Colt McCoy at the next level. You know, a guy who went to the same school, guy who went to the University of Texas, played in a lot of big games during his time there. Colt McCoy had a nice career as a backup in this league. I think Sam Ellinger's got a chance to be one of those guys too. So don't see him as a first three-round pick, but maybe 4 through 7. If not, he'll be a high-priority UDFA in this year's draft. Todd.
Oh, a couple of those. You nailed, man. You said it exactly
like
him.
He's got the moxie that you're looking for. Not a franchise quarterback, though, Rod B.
More importantly, I can tell that BK's making the face.
Oh, I know. So you're missing out on that. I'm loving the face.
Just listening to him that he's making what he thinks is his Mel Kiper face.
I have 2 pounds of hair gel in today also, guys. I'm going for the full bit because I knew we were talking about this.
So for Texas fans that are maybe disappointed, I think this is kind of what the view. This is nothing new or earth-shattering. You're obviously, like any of us, were hoping that it just takes one and that someone's going to take that chance on him. But Rod, that seems to be, I mean, that's kind of an open window when you're saying fourth all the way to undrafted. But the reality is, and I think I love both he and Book, both Ian Book and Sam Ellinger are backups in the league, and that can be a hell of a career.
Yeah, NFL Draft Bible, which has been around forever, they have Sam as their 11th quarterback on their board of quarterbacks, and they have him projected as a 7th round guy. But then they have Ian Book. This is weird. Then they have Ian Book, though, as their 8th quarterback on their board, and they got him going in the 4th or the 5th round.
Mm.
And I don't see that, you know, but I guess, looking at scouts, if I was a scout, I wouldn't have that big of a difference between Sam Ellinger and Ian Book, but maybe he's got Ian Book ahead of Kellen Mond. My boy Chris Sims has got Kellen Mond in his top five or six quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It all depends on what you value in a quarterback, man. They got McCorkle as their 5th quarterback behind the top four. McCorkle Jones.
I don't think Ian or Sam are starters in the league.
I was going to ask you, KD, since you've watched a ton of Texas, obviously, and you watch a ton of Notre Dame. I mean, if you were an NFL GM and you had your choice, it doesn't sound like you think either of those guys are going to be starters in this league. You just said that. But if you had the choice, which guy would you rather have on your NFL roster?
I would actually take Sam. Because I think that some of the intermediate and deeper accuracy problems, which really came back this last year, I think that that's stuff that maybe you can think you can clean up a little bit. And the physical nature of Sam, too. And we're seeing this more. I think you're going to see it more. Rod's done some good stuff on it in Rod's rants on different weapons and how you use them. And Sam could be a guy that could fill out that 53 and fill it out with other stuff and be a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. Hell, I think Sam could probably go run down on kickoffs and play special teams, where Ian Book's not going to do that. They both have their limitations. I like Book a lot, but I would take Sam knowing that if he ever starts for us, that means we clean some stuff up, and it was a gamble, but he's going to be our backup.
Yeah, no, I haven't watched enough Ian Book to know if there's a lot of separation. I have watched some of him. There's not a lot of separation between he and
Rod,
Sam.
There's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
There's not.
And but would you take Kellen Mond ahead of both of them?
Yes.
Oh man, me too. That's strange. Yeah, me too. I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm really high on Kellen
Mond. I'm not that high on Mond either.
Yeah, but I think if I'm going to draft one of them in the 4th round or stretch on, you know, and reach on one of them in the 4th round, I think I'd probably reach on Kellen Mond before I'd reach on Sam or Ian Book.
I'll give a prediction right now. Kellen Mond gets drafted before both of them.
I think so, too. And Kellen Mond had more of a linear progression in college, yep. I think, right? I mean, Kellen Mond's best year of college football was this past season. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That was a big red flag for him over his first 3 years, was that he was just inconsistent, right? Some games he'd look like a Sunday player, and some games he looked like he belonged in high school still. This past year, more often than not, he really, really put it together. Whereas, look, Ian Book helped lead Notre Dame to the playoff. I mean, he had a good season, but I think his sophomore year was his best year in college.
That was his best year.
And then, obviously, with Sam Ellinger, same thing, right? I mean, we did not see that linear progression from him. So I think recency bias might help with Kellen Mond a little bit more, because he's coming off the most productive last season in college.
He is, but I would say, watching both teams a lot, that Notre Dame did a better job of putting Ian Book in good situations to succeed. And so, yes, he is a winner, But Ian Book can't really say, maybe like Sam can, that, man, this did not fit who I was, or there were other issues with our offense. Because, Rod, they got to the playoff. They were obviously doing okay offensively.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I think Sam, he's got that 2018 and 2019 seasons where, you know, he was on that linear progression that KD always talks about, right? It looked like, oh, man, Sam's going to end up being a top five quarterback in college football in 2020, right? He's going to end up being potentially one of the better quarterbacks, and he's going to increase his draft status and increase his draft stock. That didn't happen because he regressed in 2020. You know, so at quarterback, at least you do have what looks like it could be a really high ceiling for Sam as a college player, that 2018 and 2019 seasons. How much does that transition to the NFL? There are a lot of talk about just changing his throwing mechanics, right? Is he working out in Dallas right now? He's working somewhere in Texas. But he's working on changing his throwing mechanics, right, and trying to adjust that and make sure it's more effective and more efficient. All those things will be showcased at Pro Day. That's going to be big for Sam because he didn't have that combine and the Pro Day. So for them to see the Senior Bowl and now how much time that's been, the months from the Senior Bowl to the Pro Day, those same scouts that watched him and watched the film of the Senior Bowl, they're going to want to see how much improvement he's done in terms of the mechanics and his throwing motion from that point to now. And if it's significant, they'll go, you know what, there are a lot of things I can coach out mm-hmm. of him. There are a lot of that, you know, the bad mechanics or, you know, whatever you want to criticize about Sam, those are things that you can coach out of him because he's very, very coachable as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with all three of these guys, the odds are going to be stacked against them, right? They're going to be dealt a tough hand, likely being day three draft picks, and there's only 32 quarterback jobs in the NFL, starting quarterback jobs in the NFL. But like y'all said earlier, if any one of these guys could turn into Colt McCoy, that dude's made $19.2 million for holding a clipboard more often than not, wearing a headset in his career. I think you'd take that living. So for either one of those guys, I'm sure all three of them would sign the dotted line for that paycheck right now.
And I guess, what, 98 if you carry three? Depends on how many teams carry three. But just jobs in the NFL, third stringer, if you're on a roster, you're on a roster.
No doubt about that. All right, who's next? Is it Joseph Osai next on this list, Robbie?
Yeah, here is the rest of the write-up, the excerpt from Kirk Bowles and his nine things in one crazy prediction column. He has a little write-up where he gets evaluations from Mel Kiper. He says, in addition, Kiper doesn't see defensive end linebacker Joseph Osai as an elite pass rusher. Wow. Said he's not elite. He said
he doesn't have a repertoire yet. A lot. We talked about that a little bit, didn't we? But it seemed like he was elite with skill or just speed, right?
He went on to say, I watched Osai's Oklahoma State game and I was very impressed. But he said some say third or fourth round, but I have a second round grade on him.
Okay.
Some say third or fourth round.
He said,
is he talking to a bunch of OU fans?
I don't know. I know. It surprised me. He said, you wonder if he'd be better off with his hand on the ground or playing as an outside linebacker.
Okay. Well, I kind of wonder that, but I still think he's a first, early, second round guy. I mean, there have been plenty of guys where you're not 100% sure what position that they're going to play at the next level, especially when it's DE/OLB in today's NFL. That doesn't mean they're third or fourth round guys, KD.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's a second rounder because of the lack of a lot of different pass moves, but I think he's a steal in the second because I think you're projecting and you're looking at his wingspan and really you're looking at his fast twitch. He was able to do a lot of that stuff without having a counter punch or different moves that he will be taught. So you can play around with him, probably putting the hand in the ground. But with all that said, I see what they're saying. Third and fourth round, that seems like you're going to be getting a steal if you catch him, obviously in the fourth. He's not going to slide there. But if you get him in the third. But, yeah, second round, I can swallow that. There's just a lot of damn good football players. And I'm also looking at Owusu-Koramoah also, who at times those two guys will get thrown in, and I'm seeing him slide to the second round too. So I'm okay with second round there. I know you guys aren't.
It's just weird. Like, I had never heard that before. I wonder if Mel Kiper's just trying to follow the path of some of his cohorts at ESPN, like Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, and just trying to have these really, really hot takes.
He said some say, though. He said he has a second-round grade on him.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, he's saying that. Like, that's a hot take.
Yes.
Like, him having a second-round grade on him. It's like, that's lower than a lot of people have, man.
Right. But so, how caught are we in our Texas circle here when we talk about this?
Well, I'm looking at mock drafts, and more than half that I've looked at over the last few weeks have OSI going in the first round.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I have not seen anywhere below the second round. That's for damn sure. So I don't know who Mel is talking about with third.
Yeah, third and fourth round. I've looked at a lot of third. You know, if anything, OSI slips to first 10 picks in the second round or that mid-second round.
He's talking to Bill O'Brien, probably.
Probably
hanging out in the offseason.
Easter beat too.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think either way he's going to be a really good player if he's put in the right system. I just believe in the kid, and he's only going to get better.
I don't even think he needs, you know, I think he'll be, you're right, I think he'll be a star in the right system. I think he's going to be a good NFL player regardless of where he goes, because you know, if somebody wants to feature him as a pass rusher, they can, but I'm with you. They have to, and I say he's raw, so you got to teach him skills. What he has is a great motor. He's got great BGO, great power to speed transition.
He's smart.
He's got a lot of those raw things. Yes, football intellect is through the roof. And what I love about him, he's only been playing football for like 10 years.
Yes,
he just
exactly.
got introduced to the game really as like a 10 or 11-year-old. So I think his upside is huge. If you want him to be, you know, kind of a stand-up outside linebacker, pass rusher, I think you can turn him into that, or you can turn him into a more traditional hand-in-the-dirt DN. His body and I think his capacity to be able to put on pounds and put on weight and still maintain his strength and speed, I think he can do that. I think he has that kind of body because of how long and rangy. You talked about his wingspan. So I don't know what's not to love about Joseph Osai. I'm with you. I know we're in that burnt orange bubble, but man, he's such a great NFL prospect.
Yeah, and I always just try and check that. I wasn't saying we were doing that in this one, and BK brings up a good point. Well, nationally, there's still a lot of people that are saying this guy's a first rounder. Who's up next, Rod?
Let's talk about Caden Stearns here. He gets into Caden Stearns. He says, and safety, Caden Stearns, he has below the first tier of top safeties. He also goes on to say, I have Stearns down just a little bit from the elite guys. He's like the next level. I would say third or fourth round is where he puts Caden Stearns. And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
We said yesterday that some team's gonna fall in love with him, and they're going to reach, they're going to take a chance on him in the third round. But I don't think he drops below the fourth.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. I mean, I think I predicted yesterday he's going to go in the third round, so I do think he'll be a late day two pick in this year's draft. But I don't think he's going to fall below the fourth. And I think Brandon Jones is going to help him, guys, because Brandon Jones went in the third last year, same school, same position. I know they're different players, but I think the fact that Brandon Jones had such a good rookie year, like if Jones was bad, then there'd be questions about, all right, it's Texas. Can they develop safeties in this era? But I think because Jones played pretty well, that might help Caden Stearns too. And KD, as you were talking about yesterday, I'll give you a few more seconds to get those sneezes in. The fact that Caden Stearns was a five-star recruit, I think, might help him too.
It definitely will help him. And I think yesterday I said, what, fourth round? You guys had him around the third, and you guys will probably end up being right because it just takes one, and someone's going to look at that. And the three factors that I gave yesterday, he hit two of those. So he was a big-time recruit. He also did flash, and he's going to be able to use the fact that he had so many defensive coordinators in that system. That'll probably get him out of detention a little bit quicker than it usually would. So he's got tons of talent, and fourth round, I'll stick with that, but just to maybe be a little bit different. And I try and think that they do this on production, but I'm proven wrong every year.
Yeah, I mean, but you, I agree with you, though, that he definitely regressed. There's no doubt about that. You can't deny that.
I'd have
that
some questions
the last 2 years.
If and I was talking to him.
Yeah, well, and the questions about the durability, right? When you take a chance on the guy, the truth is, one of the big reasons Caden Stearns hasn't reached his ceiling here at Texas was because he just didn't stay healthy long enough.
True.
So, yeah, the availability of him. So I agree with all your questions. I think some team's going to fall in love with him because of all the things that BK talked about, the five stars, the high ceiling, and that freshman year. All right, he didn't say much about Sam Cosmi. He did say this. He dropped this little nugget in there. He believes left tackle Sam Cosmi could move to guard or right tackle.
Okay.
They throw that in there. I think that's a possibility. And I got to tell you, based on the mock drafts I'm seeing and how he's being devalued, I think that may be a possibility, because maybe they're devaluing him not necessarily on his film from 2020, because I still think he had a really good year, but based on his projection, which is he's not going to be a left tackle in the league. Left tackles are valued. He's going to be a right tackle. And if he's a right tackle, then he's going to be drafting later, mid to late first round. And if it's a guard that he's projecting to be, then he's going to be potentially late to second round, late first to second
yep.
round.
Yeah. No, I wonder, we talked about Brandon Jones helping out Caden Stearns. I wonder if Connor Williams is hurting out Sam Cosmi.
Great minds think.
Don't we? Mm-hmm. The three-star and the guy who has to play guard now at the next level?
Yeah, I was about to ask Rod. Are you talking about Connor Williams here? Yeah. Are you looking at Connor Williams' draft profile? Feels like there are a lot of similar questions about those two, and I don't think they're that fair, honestly.
Yeah, and we've talked about guards being valued now, and there's more value in them. But in terms of taking them in the first round, that's got to be Quentin Nelson type stuff there, where it's like, all right, this guy is just completely separator. All right, we may get back into that. Are there any more guys in that, Rod? Because that's always interesting.
I think that's about it. He did say Kellen Mond, he believes, is more of a fourth or fifth round type guy. Threw that out there just for you Aggie fans. But yeah, that's about all the Longhorns that he gets to there in Kirk Bowles' 9 things in 1 crazy prediction.
Always good stuff from Kirk. I always try and check that out. All right, let's stick with the draft type talk here and really talk about that first round and quarterbacks. Chris Sims, our old quarterback here on the 40, he had a bold opinion, has a bold opinion. I'm going to tell you why we should listen to him up next.
Like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. We need a correction from yesterday's one and done. I didn't mean to. I didn't even get a text. I didn't get an email. I didn't get a tweet. I didn't get any, hey, that doesn't add up. But in my own head, I was going through it last night after the show, as I usually do. I replay the whole show in my head. And I think about all the stuff that BK should have said, some of the stuff Rod should have said, some of the great things Rod said. I rarely think about what I should have done because it's just spot on. But I'm playing it in my head. So, of course, the second time around, it's still going to sound really good. But, no, I was talking about the PS2. And everything I said, I stand by. I think it's the GOAT. It was my favorite video game. But this shows you just getting older, but also how much I loved Sega Genesis. So the story I gave that when I guilt-tripped my dad when I was going through chemo to get a new PS2, that was actually a Sega Genesis.
Nice.
You misplayed the cancer card, huh?
I played it correctly. There you go, Rod. I played it correctly at the time. I just forgot what console it was 24, 23, whatever years later.
Okay.
And that's BK. This is what happens when you get old, is that you'll look back at stuff. Now, if you would have asked me a couple years after, I would have said, well, yeah, the difference between the Sega Genesis and the PS2. But now I just look back at them as pets that I love that I had, and as time moves on, then sometimes you just kind of mix it up a little bit. So it was the Sega Genesis, which is my second favorite. Sega Genesis was badass, and the moving from Sega Genesis, not that the PS1, but the PS2, that felt very symbiotic. Like both those, they were in the same family. So I was a huge Sega Genesis fan. Rod, you mentioned Sonic Hedgehog, which came with the game. That was a fun one. Probably not as cool as Mario when it came with Nintendo, but Sonic the Hedgehog was fun. And the graphics when it came out, remember? We thought that was so cool.
Oh, no. I remember Sonic, man. Sonic was big. It was groundbreaking at the time. Yeah, it wasn't as iconic as Mario Brothers or anything, but for the time with the graphics, it was the real deal.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why I didn't think about the difference yesterday was because I specifically remember playing that college football game a bunch, and that's what I ended up playing on PS2 the most. Ended up having to get a lot of PS2s. I'm not sure how many I got, but I'm so glad I'm with the PS3 now.
Yeah, it's a good move. Good move. That extra internal memory. Not having to buy a new memory card every year. Big time play on your part, sir.
So just wanted to do a little correction.
There you go. Appreciate that.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. Let's move on here. And your boy, Chris Sims, Rod.
Shout out.
Shout out to Sims. How's he doing, man?
Doing good, man. He's doing really. He's actually killing it.
Yeah, he is killing it.
Yeah,
and you guys
more and more pub, and they're giving him more and more responsibility too.
They are. Saw that on Sunday Night Football where they brought him in, and I think Chris does an excellent job. I've been watching him with Notre Dame coverage on NBC on Saturday, and then we'll watch him on Sunday. And I just think he's very thoughtful. I've always really liked Chris. I certainly don't know him like Rod does, but knew him a little bit in college, and just think he's. Has always been a really, really nice guy. But he does a really good job, and he puts the work in, and he's got good opinions. And he's a guy that, he was not probably as good as we thought, being the five-star. He was really good at Texas, but then moving to the NFL. But damn, he knows NFL quarterbacks, and he's got the mind for it. And he came out with his 2021 draft quarterback rankings. And now almost every single one we've seen, you just skip past number one. You go, all right, Trevor Lawrence is one. What does he think about Fields, Lance, and Wilson? Where do those guys play into this? Could there be a Jones that pops in? Could there be a Kellen Mond that pops in? Well, all those guys are on his top six, but the list is a little different. Coming in at number one is one Zachary Wilson. Zach Wilson. BK, my boy, I don't want to hear anything, and don't clip that either.
Yeah, but I might have to.
I was on Wilson. I love this kid, and I wouldn't take him over Lawrence, so let me just say that. But I'm glad that someone, especially someone who should be as respected as Chris Sims, and I'm going to get into his past and some of the picks he's made the last couple years, but I do think it's closer than what some people are saying. I would take Lawrence. I love Lawrence. Lawrence is, as a pro guy, the best college quarterback I've ever seen. As a guy moving to the pros. But Zach Wilson is damn good. And some of the things there. So there were a couple reports that Chris Sims is not the only one to do this. And some teams actually have Zach Wilson ahead of him. Matt Miller, who is a Texas guy, had tweeted out that he talked with a team, and they said they've got Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence on their board. And then, and he took some crap for it, and then Eric Galco came out and tweeted this. There are multiple NFL teams that have Zach Wilson above Trevor Lawrence. Mahomes and Kyler comparisons made for sure, as Matt Miller had mentioned. And so that is the Mahomes, the different angles, the being able to throw. I'm sure Zach Wilson played shortstop. I know he played basketball growing up. And that some of that stuff that we're seeing from Mahomes that used to all be no-nos. It used to all be, can you coach it out of him? Is that going to be too much of a problem? Now they're positives. Now they're strengths. Now they're intangibles that you just can't get somewhere else. And so I would still take Lawrence. I love Lawrence ahead of Wilson. But I love how we're finally getting some discussion about, no, it's just not a dead set we're going with Trevor Lawrence. Some teams, Rod, are actually looking at Zach Wilson. I'll get into Sims and some of the picks he's made the last couple of years. But in terms of this, how surprised were you to see your buddy take Zach over Trevor?
Not at all, because I know where you're going with this, because I've kept up with Sims and some of his picks. And, you know, he does his homework, and he is not afraid to go the path, you know, the path less traveled, if you will, in terms of his picks and his evaluation. So I know where you're going, and I trust his evaluations, too. And the truth is, like I always say, nobody knows what the hell they're doing when it comes to quarterbacks.
Right.
Anyway. And how often is the top quarterback picked in that draft, you know, the best quarterback in the draft? It does happen, but it probably not as often as you think. That's probably more the exception than the rule.
Yeah, definitely. I think Chris Sims is doing this all for publicity.
Okay.
I mean, if he put out a top five, a top 10 quarterbacks rankings for this year's NFL draft, and if he put Trevor Lawrence number one like everybody else, then nobody would really be talking about it.
I think he takes his opinion really, seriously, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Almost too seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would know. I don't know him that well, but to where I know what you're saying, and usually I'd be cynical like that too. But you think he would do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know Chris Sims personally. I don't mean to take a shot at Chris Sims. It's just the business. And that's kind of how guys skyrocket and get more jobs and more responsibility, if they have takes that get people talking.
Well, taking a shot at Chris Sims in Austin, that's old
hat. You're right. I am taking a shot at him.
Right, exactly. Let's not bring that back in style.
People will love me more than ever before.
That was like one of the most popular hobbies in Austin for a couple of years. All right, so over the last 3 years, and in fact, let me get the rest of his top six for this year. He's got Zach Wilson 1, Trevor Lawrence 2, Mac Jones 3, Kellen Mond 4. That's what you're talking about, Rod. Justin Fields 5, and Trey Lance coming in at 6. Your boy Trey Lance at 6 there, BK. Is he losing a little steam because of that one game that he played?
I think he's losing some steam because he only played one game.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't perform that well.
But, the fact that everybody else on this list had a full or close to a full season and he had one game, I think that is hurting Trey Lance a little bit because he only had one season, too, as a starter at North Dakota State. So, smaller sample size. That doesn't help.
Rod, you surprised? Jones, Mond, Fields, 3, 4, 5 there?
A little. I mean, Justin Fields I think he should be higher, of course. I mean, it's a little surprising. But he really likes Kellen Mond. I don't know why he likes Kellen Mond that much. He loves Kellen Mond. He loves Kellen Mond.
And he obviously likes Mac Jones. One thing I like about Sims and how he evaluates quarterbacks is it's so easy. We do this in life in general, to where you do it with stand-up comedians that you like one maybe that's your race or your gender. Well, they're speaking to me more. And that can be fine. I mean, we do that. I do that as a white male. It's like, I know where he's coming from. He's complaining about this and that, but it can be a little too much when you carry that to other parts of your life, and he doesn't do that. He does not take just Chris Sims quarterbacks. So he has taken and picked, when I say picked, put them pretty high on the list, mobile quarterbacks, which Chris Sims was not. So over the last 3 years, Sims has been pretty damn good. Last year he had Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Burrow was an easy one. But Herbert, not everyone had him there, guys. There were some question marks, and, I mean, BK couldn't nail that anymore, if we're talking right now.
He was special last year, and it looks like he was a great find for the Chargers. So, yeah, every once in a while, if you go out on a limb, you can be right, and there's definitely a chance. I mean, as Rod said, right, there are plenty of years in the history of the NFL draft where the first quarterback taken is nowhere close to the best quarterback selected. Yep. So there is a way. Even if it is Trevor Lawrence who goes number one, like we all assume, there's a definite chance that he is not the best QB in this class, and somebody like Zach Wilson could have a better career.
So 2019 is really interesting, and that there was a lot of different chatter in terms of the quarterback draft. But he had Kyler Murray at number one, followed by Drew Locke. I mean, Locke isn't great yet, but we got to remember some of the guys like Dwayne Haskins and Ryan Finley and some of the names that we were hearing. Daniel Jones. There were a lot of different lists, a lot of people that
were considered ahead of Drew Locke on that list. And now, if you just kind of redraft the quarterbacks, you know, actually he'd be pretty accurate. He'd be closer to being accurate than a lot of the other quarterback evaluators out there.
He took a lot of crap. I remember when it was like, you're taking Locke over Dwayne Haskins. No, what the hell? Yeah. Well, what would you say today?
Yeah, no, trust me, and I know where you're going to. That's not even the one I like. I like the one you
2018, right? I knew this is the one you would like, and this one stands out the most. This is where you had Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. And look, I thought Darnold could be a good pro. I did say I thought he should go back to school because he's not refined yet as a redshirt sophomore, but I've definitely been wrong on him. So you got to be able to take your L's, too, and be honest about it. But Baker and Darnold were really thought to be the top two by most people, and Sims had Lamar Jackson as his top quarterback in the draft. Mm-hmm. Once again, Lamar and Sims, nothing in common if you look at him in college. But Sims is able to see how that type of quarterback can be good. Then he had, following Lamar, number two was Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield third. That one, to me, Rod, really kind of separated Sims. You look at what he's done the last couple years, we should listen to Chris Sims.
I don't think it's just, I know BK's right, that people do, you know, they do make these really grand projections and prognostications, Skip Bayless style, right, to be more of a shock jock in the industry to make headlines. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I totally agree people do that. But Sims, I'm telling you, he takes it really seriously, and he knows what the hell he's talking about. So I think it's less for the shock jock and actually more for his reputation, which he takes a lot. You know, he takes it very seriously, and he wants to be known as a guy that can project and evaluate quarterbacks really well.
One more, 2017, he said Mahomes is his most special talent in this draft. He's been on a nice little roll here, BK, and proud that he's a Longhorn.
Yeah, me too. Trevor Lawrence is the best QB in this class, though.
I agree.
I'm going to take that to the grave.
But I love Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson could be a Hall of Famer.
I think he's got a chance to be special in the league, too, and you've been on him.
I've been on him.
Your words, not mine.
Oof.
For a long time.
For a long time.
I would not be surprised if Trevor Lawrence is not the best quarterback in this draft at all. I mean, that's...
Okay.
You know, just looking at, like you say, you just go through the last 15, 20 years of drafts, the top quarterback, it's not always the best quarterback in the draft. Yeah. I know he's a generational talent, but it's still the quarterback position, man. It's still the NFL. It's just very unpredictable. You just don't know.
Yeah.
I know they think they know about Trevor Lawrence, and I think we all hope we do, but nothing is guaranteed. Not saying he won't be a starter in the league, but they're saying he's a guaranteed Hall of Fame quarterback right now, the way it looks. Man, he could just come in this league and be a Jag, playing for the Jags.
Wow, that would suck. That would be too on the nose. So, anything could happen with it. I do think this is a quarterback draft class where you're getting two number ones. And when I say two number ones, you're getting two 1-1s. Mm. And there have been ones like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. It may have been 1-1, 1-2. You got more like 1-15 for me.
and I'm talking
Baker there.
337-3776 is the Specs text line. If you want to chime in, your thoughts on Chris Sims' comments regarding the 2021 NFL draft. There is one and done with our man Kevin Dunn. When we come back here on the Triple Option with RBKD, we've got off the record a Michael Jordan story that I had never heard before. I don't think any of us have heard before. It's unbelievably good. You don't want to miss it. We'll play the audio next.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get they break my head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F-ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. Everybody's got a podcast these days, and this podcast is All Things Covered.
How dare you?
And in the podcast, All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, I believe, is the other co-host on the podcast, which makes this All Things Covered, defensive backs, that kind of thing.
I thought you were talking like the MTV VJ. All right, yeah, the Florida State guy. That's who you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is a VJ?
Video jockey.
Oh, God. Rod.
Yeah. Old guy.
Rod.
Boomer. Is that what they're called?
VJs. Yeah, they were VJs back in the day.
What does a video jockey even do?
Nothing. Just sit around and introduce videos. Pretty much a thankless job, I should say. Not okay. Yeah. Thankless.
I've seen those guys in action. I didn't know what the term was for
VJ.
That. Sounds inappropriate, dude.
Well, a lot of things were in the 80s.
A VJ.
And Ho's got fisted.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, I'm going to save us from ourselves.
That wasn't me. That was Steve Busby, former voice of the Texas Rangers, with that comment.
Well, Antoine Walker, NBA player Antoine Walker, former NBA player Antoine Walker, was on this podcast, and he told a story about the GOAT, Michael Jordan, and hanging out one night before Michael Jordan was allegedly, I guess, getting ready to announce his return to the NBA after his first retirement. And then in between that and the comeback, he claims this is when this story took place. So we do have some of the sound here. Here is Antoine Walker telling his version of that story about Michael Jordan.
When Mike calls, the buy-in goes up a little higher. Let me just start with that. So it's going to be a number put on that everybody got to bring to the table. I say probably 20,000 is the cap.
That's cold hard cash, 20,000.
Yeah, you got to have 20 to get in.
Just 20.
just to get in.
Just to get in. You ain't got 20 to get in. You can't even play. So that starts that. And then Mike is competitive, man. I remember one time we played spades for 36 hours.
What? Damn.
What? We played spades for 36 hours. We were playing against two other guys. We were playing against two other guys. Me and Michael were partners, and we were playing against two other guys. And they had us stuck B-Mac 900,000.
What?
Yeah. So you guys familiar with spades, right?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
So you familiar with spades. So you know. So y'all know the first hand. So we were playing the first hand bid itself.
Yep. Okay. Right. Yep.
So whoever gets seven, we was betting 50,000 on that.
What?
Betting 50 on who gets seven, and then 50,000 on the game.
Were y'all playing Joker, Joker, Deuce, Deuce, Ace? Nope. Or were y'all playing Joker, Ace, Joker, Ace?
Ace, King, Queen. Ace, King, Queen. Ace, King, Queen, man. That was the – and this was the crazy part. That we played for 30 – and what made it even more interesting, it was the day that he actually supposed to make his announcement that he was officially coming back. He canceled the press conference, everything. We played for 36 hours, man.
Did anyone ever find out why he canceled the press conference? Did that news ever break?
Nope. Because we did it. We was down, and actually, we was down the street from the press conference in one of our good friends' restaurant at the top of the restaurant. And we played for 36 hours, man. We was down.
So, wow. Yeah. 36 you, Matt. Hours hey, straight?
Matt, hey, I thought you stayed up all night and gamble and beat you, man.
Man. Oh, yeah. Oh, no question. We didn't stay up. No, we didn't make 24 hours. So my question for you, Twan, did you guys actually have the cash or y'all were playing with markers?
No. This all cash.
Ooh.
So this what happened. This is what happened. I was leaving for Boston in a couple days. So I had about 100,000. I was always getting my money. Mm-hmm. MJ had about 200 on him. MJ sent for $500,000.
How about that, guys?
Unbelievable.
Do we believe this?
Yes.
Antoine
yes.
Walker?
Yes. Yes.
Telling the story. So we all know that when Michael Jordan announced his return, his first return to the NBA when he came back with the Chicago Bulls, that he didn't have a press conference. Instead, he just sent out that two-word release that said, "I'm back." That was faxed. And that's how the world found out that MJ was returning to the NBA. Well, now, KD, we maybe found out why. He just did a fax, a two-word message, instead of an actual press conference.
Oh, this guy becomes even more of a legend. This had to be like for kids that were growing up when Bobby Lane was still talked about as much as he should be now on the 40. And then you just hear stories and the fact that they were able to be that good on the field or on the court and still just be those John Wayne figures off of it. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I understand that people look at it. I wouldn't want like my kid to be like, "Hey, that's something I can get away with or something I should do." But Rod, considering he's the best basketball player of all time, it's just, I don't know. These stories, I eat them up and it just makes him more of a legend in my mind.
Yeah, even with The Last Dance coming out and revealing so many behind the curtain secrets about the dynasty, there are more. There are more stories out there about it.
36
right?
straight hours of doing anything.
This didn't even make it. I mean, this was left on the cutting room floor. This didn't make the documentary. I mean, it's unbelievable how many great stories there are out there about MJ. So that's why he is the GOAT. I love LeBron, and LeBron is awesome. And LeBron separates himself from MJ in a lot of ways, and he is not done building his legacy. But the stories that just come out about MJ, you could never have those stories about LeBron, number one, because different eras, social media, all that kind of stuff. But, man, they just make him so much cooler as he ages. He just becomes, you know what I mean? He becomes even more, not only famous, but also infamous now. He's both. Yeah. He's both.
I feel like we're supposed to react when we hear stories like these. We're supposed to be like, man, that's so irresponsible.
I know.
Gambling for 36 hours
we're
straight.
We're lionizing gambling.
Being down $900,000 at one point in gambling debt. Like, we should be against that, and we should be criticizing and ridiculing Michael Jordan for being irresponsible, but I'm with you guys.
We can't do it.
This stuff is the stuff of legend right here, and it just adds to the legacy of the GOAT. And Rod, I think if Antoine Walker had shared this story before The Last Dance was created, I think this story would have made the cut. I just don't know if anybody knew about this before Antoine Walker shared it on the podcast.
That's
like,
true.
It might have only been Antoine and those two other guys who were gambling against them who ever knew about this until yesterday.
But they waited so long to do the last dance. Because remember, they had all the footage, right? As KD talks about, they've been filming stuff from the Dynasty for a while. They had a lot of footage. Couldn't get the okay from Michael Jordan to use the footage. And, you know, they've been doing research on a lot of these stories, waiting on all these stories to come out. Same reason people do documentaries and movies about presidents once they die. That's when all the good stuff comes out. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of waiting on MJ to be further and further away from his playing days. And they thought they had the stories, but you're right. There's just so many great stories out there. I mean, and I agree with your point, BK. He is, you know, he is above the judgment, really, of the cancel culture and our politically correct society. We view him in a different rarefied air, maybe because his demons didn't lead to his downfall.
That's a lot of it.
You know, because ultimately he ended up overcoming those demons, and he's still a billionaire and one of the most successful human beings to ever walk the earth. So now his demons just kind of add to his infamy. And it's, you know, this guy had a Hitler stash in a commercial, and nobody called him out about it. I mean, that's how much we love him. MJ, with a Hitler stash in a, you know, was it Hanes or
Hanes? Hanes, it was Hanes
commercial,
yeah, Hanes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, Rod's right. So if he was broke, then lionizing it would not be nearly as acceptable. But I know, yeah, that's probably not the take we should have. But all three of us organically just still think it's cool. Yeah, it's the same thing as like with Anthony Bourdain. Bourdain, it wasn't cool that he was ever a heroin addict, but the fact that he overcame it and could laugh about certain stuff like that when he wasn't on it at that point, then it makes it a little bit more palatable.
It adds more fuel to my conspiracy that Michael Jordan did not leave basketball under his own accord after the 93 season.
Oh, here we go. Here we go, Rod. I'm trying to have a good Friday.
It was
gambling
suspension from David Stern.
No, I agree. BK, that is a conspiracy theory that I will jump on that grassy knoll with you, sir.
So wait a minute.
I will get on that grassy knoll.
Wait a minute. Y'all needed this? We already had a million other stories.
I've already said it many times.
I'm saying BK said that forever.
More fuel?
That's his Stevie Wonder take, too.
Yeah, I know it is. And he's blind on this one, too.
Easy on that. Well, Stevie's not blind, and I'm not blind. So perfect. That's a lit cigarette into the fire right there,
Boom.
Baby. Come on now.
Boom.
There is an unbelievable MJ story told by Antoine Walker.
36
Hilarious
hours.
Stuff.
So, were they, 36 straight out. Where? I got more questions about where were they.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, where did this take place? In a hotel room?
What were you doing to stay up for 36 hours?
Exactly.
Would also be a question. I do like how when he sent his nephew to go get the 500K, He said, make sure, get out of my golf bag, but make sure my wife didn't see you.
That's awesome.
Wifey can't see that.
Hopefully no pizza was delivered to the hotel room they were playing in that night. Could have been a problem for MJ.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take your thoughts, 337-3776. Fantastic GOAT story there. It's the Triple Option with our BKD. BK, Kevin Dunn, Rod Babers with you on a Friday. Let's get back into Texas basketball. Big win for the Longhorns in Norman last night. Never a bad time to beat OU, but we'll talk about how the Longhorns got it done and what it means for this team moving forward here in the month of March. It's next.